Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, everybody, it's Vince. Heads up, we may have botched the audio. And, all right, hear me out. It's our second episode. You do something two times and get it perfect. Yeah, that's right, I'm going to start the episode and make you feel bad. All right, have a good one, enjoy.
Welcome back, everybody, to Atomic Radio Hour, the show that dives into the wreckage that is post-apocalyptia. I'm your host, Vince, and I'm also here today with...
your most precious resource, Declan.
And we are a Fallout-centric podcast, where podcasts like to get together and talk about all things post-apocalyptia. You want to add anything to that?
Tell me, what are we talking about today?
Today's topic, dealing with lore, has to do with the Resource Wars. Since last week we talked about the vaults and their effect on the world, I think we should talk about the number one reason why the world is as fucked up as it is.
Why did we need the vaults?
Yeah, so how much about the Resource War do you know?
The Resource War, I feel like I don't know too much about it. Like, I know that about more of the Great War, but I know that the Resource War, it, like, preceded all of the nuclear attacks, and it had to do with, like, getting as much oil and coal and whatever to be able to fuel the world.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, it's in my notes, we'll go over it in depth, but it was mostly just humanity's dependency on fossil fuels. In 2052, small nations start to go bankrupt, and Europe starts depending heavily on the Middle East for oil. Chinese geologists tap into the last remaining oil region that's deep beneath the Pacific Ocean, and the U.S., being as dirty as the U.S. is in the Fallout universe, have spies that go and sabotage the plan, and Poseidon Oil later on takes this land and harvests from it.
Yeah, that sounds like on brand for the pre-war U.S.
Yeah. July 26th of 2052, the UN is disabled because no one is getting along. It's literally just like a bunch of six-year-olds playing and can't get along.
So it's disbanded?
Yeah, totally disbanded. Okay, and this is what's nuts, because I don't remember ever hearing this, but by December of the same year, Tel Aviv is completely blown off the map.
No, really?
Yeah, there's a nuclear terrorist threat bombing that goes on. And Tel Aviv is gone. Tel Aviv is destroyed.
That's crazy. What game is that mentioned in? Or is that maybe in the Bible?
I don't remember if it's in the Bible or if it's in maybe 1. Because I think you find that at Mariposa.
Oh, yeah?
I think. I could be wrong.
Hmm.
By January of 2054, these countries that are still around are having this like small back and forth of nuclear weapons, like,
just, like, spats with mini-nukes and shit.
Yeah, and this kind of sets in motion for Project Safehouse. Project Safehouse, the U.S. is kind of just like,
yeah, we need to, like, not get blown off the map.
2059, the Anchorage front line was established. The U.S.'s attempt to protect the Alaskan oil.
Is that where Poseidon Energy is set up shop?
I don't know if it's where Poseidon Oil is set up shop, but it's probably... Wait, what do you mean by that? Like, where their headquarters is, or...?
No, like how you said how the oil in the Pacific, how Poseidon Energy ended up taking that. Do you think they had some hand in setting up a defense in Anchorage?
Probably.
Because the way if they were protecting their interests, it would make a lot of sense for them to be saying, hey, government, we want troops here because we want oil.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I didn't read that, but...
I like to think about stuff like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's what the whole game is based on, is political corruption.
Oh, easily, yeah.
So the U.S. starts doing this, and they're putting a lot of pressure on Canada to use their land, and it's starting a lot of tension on both sides.
So then the U.S. annexes Canada, right?
Later. By 2060, the Euro-Middle Eastern War comes to an end.
There was a straight-up war between the European Union and the Middle East.
Well, the European Union... If I remember correctly, when I was doing the research for this, it's like three countries.
Oh, so it never took off like it did here.
No, it's I want to say England, Italy, and Germany.
Okay, so there's some big ones.
Yeah.
They're only missing France to really get all the, and Spain to get the big ones.
Yeah, but it's only them, and by 2060, the like I said, the Euro-Middle Eastern war comes to a complete end because both sides are just out of resources. Now, that happens, and the war's over, and neither side can really even remember what they were fighting for.
Really?
They're just like, what the hell was that even about? But the European Commonwealth dissolves, that's what it was called, the European Commonwealth, into, like, nation states, and they just fight. People, like, in the street fight over resources. It's pandemonium. It's total anarchy.
Yeah. It's total dissolve of society.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. By the winter of 2066, China invades Alaska. Tensions between the U.S. and Canada become even greater. Canada's reluctant to allow the U.S. troops to fly over them. They don't really want them to be like...
They
want
to stay out of it.
Yeah, they're like, if this is what all this is about to go down, I don't want to be around this. They didn't even really want soldiers on their soil. They were just kind of like...
Apprehensive for the entire event.
Yeah. So by 2067, the first suits of T-45D power armor deployed in Alaska.
Is that, like, establishing Anchorage?
Yeah. It's kind of like, don't fuck with the U.S. Don't come to Alaska. Like, we're not invited. It makes soldiers pretty much superhumans.
Because of the power armor.
Yeah. The way it was described when I was doing the research was saying pretty much like in one person could level a city. Jeez. Like they could just... And I mean, that's also like the Fallout 1 way of writing it probably too. Yeah. Because now you get into a suit of power armor and it's like, I'm powerful, but I can't level a building.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I'm sure that if the engine could allow it, you could bust through like plaster walls.
Oh, yeah. But oh, that'd be so cool. That would be like, so cool. Kool-Aid man it?
Yeah. Poof,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. China tries to create their own power armor, but they lack
But they do make the stealth armor.
Later on. Yeah, I don't have that. There was nothing about stealth armor, but yeah.
But the Chinese stealth armor is freaking
Do
cool.
they?
Yeah.
That's not just part of the simulation?
No.
Well, no, because you find it at the end.
Yeah, you can get the stealth armor.
So by 2069, the U.S. military is more present in Canada. The consumption of resources starts to really take a toll on the entire country. Vast stretches of just wildlife are being obliterated. Many Americans start referring to Canada as Little America. A lot of Canadians protest, and it just kind of, like, goes unheard.
Like, too much money is controlling what's going on.
Yeah. The next part, I'm not sure if it's canon, and I really wanted to talk about it because I didn't want to say it when the 76 trailer first came out.
Yeah, shoot.
Some Canadians tried to sabotage the Alaskan pipeline because they didn't want these Americans in their country,
of course,
destroying everything. The BOMB, Ballistic Orbital Missile Base, is finished and put into space.
Okay.
Now, if you watch the trailer where there's a guy walking, I think he's wearing a flannel shirt. There's a bit, like, when I clicked on the picture for the, because it just said bomb, it didn't say ballistic, or it didn't say any of that. I click on it, it's the same thing that's crashed. I genuinely think in 76, you're going to be able to go to a bomb. You're going to be able to go to the spot, and there's going to be something that fell from space.
Like one of these satellite weapons that had just failed and completely plummeted to the...
And I fucking bet you can launch a nuke from it.
Well, we know we could launch a nuke from, like, silos.
Yeah.
But that is cool.
Yeah.
And or at least use it as some kind of weapon in some regard.
Yeah.
Like, I always liked the... the satellite, like in each Bethesda game, I don't know about Fallout 4, but at least in New Vegas and in 3, there is some kind of orbital weapon.
What was the orbital weapon in 3?
The Archimedes 2, right?
That's only New Vegas.
That's in New Vegas? I thought there was another orbital weapon in 3.
Not that I remember.
See, I thought there was.
Are you thinking about, you're not thinking about the hammer from Gears, are you?
No.
Did you ever play Gears?
No, I haven't.
It's not a game I think you would play.
No?
No. It's just kind of like... it's got an alright story, but it seems just like violence for the sake of violence.
It seems a little bit gritty for me.
Yeah.
I like more camp. But, well, I like the idea of there being these orbital weapons.
It makes sense.
That are just about, and like, they're these toys of these governments that have way too much money.
Mm-hmm. And it makes sense for it to fall to Earth.
Like if it were out of some kind of fuel.
Yeah.
To keep itself in motion.
Yeah.
And it weren't quite at the level of being able to be a true satellite, like with quotes, and for it to keep itself in orbit.
Knowing how they how Fez is trying to redo, not redo, but, like, justify all this lore. I wouldn't be surprised if they just say that, like, they try to get back to Earth, because they were like, hey, some shit's going on, and we haven't heard from anybody in a while.
Yeah, like, if there were people stationed up there.
Yeah, because, I mean, why wouldn't there be?
Yeah, Space Race would have happened, I would say, right?
Yeah, actually, we should do a lore episode about that, just because...
About space.
Because when you play Fallout 4 and you go to the Museum of History, there's a whole thing about dudes in power armor on the moon. If you look at that mural, and I've never... I remember listening to a lore video once where the guy slightly talked about it, but I never really, really looked into it.
I mean, the most that I know of space is, like, the pop culture-y stuff, like Jangles the Moon Monkey.
Yeah.
And, I really hadn't considered the actuality of space in the Fallout universe. Like, do you think there's a lunar colony we need to think about?
To be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if either a major plot of an upcoming Fallout game is the Enclave coming from the moon.
The Enclave on the moon.
The Moonclave.
I like it.
I mean, which I have a little bit written about the Enclave for my notes, but it would make sense to me. All these people that have a shit ton of money and the president, like, why not go to the moon? It's literally the, maybe not the safest, but the most secluded.
Yeah.
So, by 2073, China starts using biological weapons, which, normally, I'm pretty sure the UN has said we're not using biological weapons anymore.
Yeah.
But the UN's fucking gone. So, they start using biological weapons, and the US's countermeasure is the Pan Immunity Project. You know what the Pan Immunity Project is?
I don't, actually.
It's the group that later researched the FEV virus.
Oh.
Yeah. So
that's very pertinent.
Yeah. They wanted to... The FEV, for those who don't know, they wanted to make super soldiers.
Yeah.
And
like Captain America and shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they had no fucking clue what they were doing. And this is 5 years before the... No, I'm sorry. 4 years before the bombs drop. So they didn't have time to work out all the kinks. And because of it, we got super mutants.
Got our green friends.
Yeah.
If we call super mutants a kink in the project. Like, yeah, no, it's a little stepping stone. We'll get rid of that bug in the next version. Like, what?
In pre-war Fallout, super mutants are a kink. They are not, and I don't mean like a kink in the internet sense.
Oh, no, Rule 34, it's already out there.
Yeah, probably.
Don't tweet it at the show.
which is at Atomic Radio Hour, but don't tweet it to us.
They had the money to just sweep that under the rug.
Yeah, they had the money to go like, all right, if one in every fifth person becomes a super mutant or whatever the fuck they were going to call them, just...
Oh, well, like, oh, these guys were volunteers. They knew it was going to happen. Yeah. That one was a drug addict.
Look what he was wearing. Like, just fucking terrible shit. By 2074, negotiations between the U.S. and other world powers come to a dramatic end. Now, they were kind of getting together and trying to say, like, who's getting what? Like, how is this going to work out? We need to make do with the resources we have. The president walks out of a meeting and kind of just is like, fuck all of this. The U.S. is getting the last remaining oil and we refuse to share. We refuse to sell it. We're not doing anything. It's ours.
I feel like that's very U.S. in on brand.
No, it is, but it's like, fucking come on.
Yeah.
Like, what, do you want to get nuked? Like,
they were asking for it.
Yeah. Same year, 2074, the U.S. starts deploying troops to China.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that we deployed in China.
Yeah.
I say, but that the U.S. had deployed in China.
Which really makes me think, how many Americans are alive in China?
Or at least descendants thereof.
Yeah. Like, is there just colonies of Americans in power armor?
Who knows? That'd be an interesting, interesting side game. Or even a DLC.
You know what?
I feel like if we had another West Coast Fallout, like... Something like the Oregon, Washington State, Idaho, like...
Think about how cool that
would entire,
be.
Like, northern...
Montana. Or no, Wyoming.
Yeah.
Wyoming. There's nothing there.
That entire northwest corner, if we had a Fallout game there, I feel like we'd have a lot more access to what would have happened to China. Because it's geographically closer to China. If anyone was out there on a boat or a submarine, it's going to be right there.
Did you ever do the Yangtze quest?
I have.
Yeah.
And I think it's... absolutely captivating and very cool. The only thing that kills me is that all of the salvage in the submarine is American products.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
Yeah, like you go over to a med box and it doesn't have Chinese or Japanese on it.
Huh. I never thought of that.
Yeah. Or like you find like sugar bombs. Like, these are, you're not going to get these in China.
Yeah, he's never left. And even if it was in China, it would have a, it would be in Chinese.
Yeah, the caution slippery when wet sign would not have English on it.
There's a caution slippery when wet sign?
Yes.
Holy shit. I did it one time. That's really funny.
Yeah. But the U.S. says, fuck y'all.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But they didn't even have, like, enough troops. I don't think they were ready for it. A lot of the troops got, like, bogged down on the main line.
Yeah.
So, but still. I mean,
Anchorage was, like, a slaughter, right? In terms of how it all, in canon, panned out. Despite what your simulation might have meant in Fallout 3, the actuality of what happened in Anchorage was that it was a slaughter. Correct?
I mean, they win. The U.S. wins.
Doesn't mean it wasn't a bloodbath.
No, I mean, totally. So, February 14th, happy Valentine's Day. Canada understands that the vast number of troops that are constantly in Canada is pretty much just like, fuck it. We have no money, we have no resources,
they're
we might as
stay.
Well just become annexed. So by 2075, they're just like, fuck it, let us in.
The U.S. annexes Canada.
Yeah. 2076, other than Vault 76 finishing in time for the Tricentenary?
It's a word that has three in it.
So in 2076, the U.S. finally annexes Canada. It's totally complete. It's on the books. It's all gravy.
At this point, had the United States dissolved into territories yet?
I'm pretty sure this is what did it.
Okay.
Tell me about it. Didn't read anything about that, but there was the 13 commonwealths.
Yeah.
And I know Canada itself is like its own commonwealth. And the Texas Commonwealth is Texas and like one other state.
Yeah, because Texas is huge.
Yeah.
And of course, the Commonwealth, which is all the New England states, becomes the Commonwealth.
That's not just the Commonwealth. I think it's the New England Commonwealth, but after the bombs drop, it just got shortened to the Commonwealth.
Okay.
But there's a bunch of Canadian protesters like, we don't want to be a part of America. Like, everything they're doing right now is evil, and we're not for it. Those Canadian protesters were killed on site.
No way.
Yeah.
Just
like, you know, in the beginning of Fallout 1, there's the dude in the power armor and he shoots the guy and then waves at the camera.
Yeah.
That.
No way.
Yeah. But wait, there's more. The Canadian pipeline gets swamped by the U.S. and pictures of the atrocities start making back to the homeland. And people start protesting more and more.
As in, you can't just be murdering Canadians.
Yeah, like, it's starting to get even more out of
more hand. Messy.
Yeah. Like, this, like, totally you can see, like, where the timeline is and, like, the dirty shit they're doing. Like, where it's really starting to get. June, same year, 2076, the T-51B power armor is finally shown off. It's finally delivered.
The power armor of the future.
Yeah. This is, like, this is supposed to be the greatest power armor ever. Like, it's supposed to be, like, tops. Like, it's just, there's no stopping it. Many of these were actually first deployed to China, too.
Because that's the front line at that point.
At that point. Which, I mean, again, makes me think there must be just colonies of...
of soldiers.
That just were like, fuck it, we're alive. Like, we gotta learn how to cultivate rice.
Yeah. I think that'd be a very interesting angle to frame a game from.
Like, even if it's like, alright, here's 76. This is the time... this is the one that you have to play to wait till we get to Fallout 5. If they did, like Fallout Red, or like Fallout...
See, that's a cool title.
Yeah, but it's like, this is the one that talks about the Chinese Americans, or the American Chinese, that, like, you're in this part of China, you're doing this, you're having that to do with this. You know what I mean? Like, it's so cool. And especially if they went all out and actually got Chinese voice actors who spoke Mandarin, that'd be amazing.
It'd be a great, like, cultural project.
Yeah. I'd be all for that.
Yeah, I'd love that.
So... Bethesda, I want my 10%. If that's the move, I want my 10%. So, because of all of this, with the T-51 power armor, China's pretty much brought to its breaking point. Like, China's done. Like, the U.S. is going to win, but at what cost?
Yeah. You're going to win over Ash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of other, like, little spots in China, or not in China, that's around China, that's around, like, the Asian... I don't know if it's an Asian Commonwealth it would be called, but that area,
of course,
that are totally just out of money, out of resources, can't really do anything, and China's just like, all right, it's the end. January 10th of 2077, the U.S. reclaims Alaska and the front line.
Now that's Operation Anchorage.
I think so.
Because that's when you get the electric sword. You use it to...
Yeah, but that's all supposed to be like, this is what we want to happen.
I suppose, yeah.
You know what I mean? It probably didn't go down the way it went down.
I mean, yeah, they probably embellished as much as they could.
Well, no, that simulation was made before the war ended.
Okay. But yeah. It has to have carried some amount of truth.
Probably, because if people actually went through that, they probably tried to do that exactly.
Yeah.
By January 22nd, power armor is first used in the U.S. to control crowds and quarantine people off.
Who are they quarantining?
4 people.
For real?
Like, I'm not even joking. Like, why would you need to quarantine anybody off that isn't poor?
Yeah,
there's no mass disease.
Yeah, at this point, there's no money for, like public service. People are probably getting sick all over the place.
Riots over scarce food and medicine. Many civilians are killed for rioting and just trying to support their family. Like, this is when it gets real dark.
This is the apocalypse.
Yeah, this is the pre-apocalypse. We talk about post-apocalyptia, this is pre-apocalyptia.
This is apocalyptia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
U.S. and Canada soldiers attempt to escape to go to other nations, or just leave the army, and they get put in prison camps.
Like, you aren't leaving.
Yeah. Well, and in the DLC for New Vegas, I don't remember which one, but you can come across a Chinese, like, concentration camp.
Yeah.
And
which one is that?
I don't remember. I don't remember playing it. I didn't really play the DLC for New Vegas.
Was it Lonesome Road?
I think so.
Yeah.
And it was. You open the gate and they get to a certain point and their heads blow up. They had fucking slave collars on.
Yeah.
Because they're ghouls. Yeah. Forgot to mention that. Yeah, because it's 200 and change later. March of the same year, many were preparing for a bio or a nuclear attack. The president and members of the enclave relocate around the world to other places. So everybody knows about, I would hope everyone would have the basic understanding that the enclave went to the oil base.
Yes.
And that was like the biggest one, the oil rig.
That's off the coast of California.
Mm-hmm. We just think like imagine being that to that point where you know it's going to end.
Like you see on the news, oh, the president has left the country.
Well, I don't even know if it would say that, but like having that much foresight to see that like the end of days is coming.
Yeah.
And just saying,
being able to peek everyone off the cliff and see what's below.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that nuts?
Yeah. You need to be at that point to know it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of things that you never know what could happen. But at that point, there's so much informing.
There's no going back.
That there's no going back. Yeah. It's the point of no return. The train's going into the ravine, Marty.
And now the most infamous date, pretty much the date the entire game is based upon.
Can I? It's October 23rd, 2077.
At 9:47 a.m., the Great War starts. It only lasts about 2 hours, and it's the last large-scale war the world has ever seen. It's not known who fired the first shot. Some people would say the U.S. Some people said China. There's a theory, and I really like this theory, that it was Vault-Tec.
Yeah, I like the Vault-Tec theory.
Yeah.
They're like, we need to get our experiments cracking, guys. Come on, chop, chop.
And if you really think about what Vault-Tec was doing, a lot of it to me just doesn't really make sense. Like,
yeah.
Let's...
They were evil, an evil corporation, and they had their motives, and they had their shit planned. They knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
You never hear about a vault that no one made it into.
No.
Unless they had intended on it.
Everybody made it in. At least one person made it into every vault that I'm aware of.
Or at least vaults that exist in canon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we could get 76 and there could be a new vault and it could be that there's nobody in there. That'd be kind of cool. Think about that. If nobody's in there, but you could set up shops.
Oh, that'd be really cool. Yeah, like you open it for the first time as yourself as a player character.
Yeah.
It's just and it's fresh. Everything's perfectly clean. A little bit of dust, but you can get rid of that. That'd be awesome. Yeah, just...
Imagine if they would do it where every time that there's a new person on the server, whoever opens the door first...
is the overseer.
Not the... Oh! I wasn't even thinking... Imagine starting your own vault?
Yeah.
I wasn't even thinking that. I was thinking
because
like,
they already have a framework from the DLC. The vault-making DLC.
Holy shit, yeah.
that those lines of code exist already.
All right, Bethesda, again, 10%. Just
10%. Yeah, we each get 10% this time.
10%. Let's put Ron Gulman in the game. Let me voice Ron. You don't even got to pay me to voice Ron. Let me just sit down and make the character with you, and we'll flesh out a storyline.
He owns a vault.
Yeah,
he's a cool man.
Oh, wow, that's a fucking great idea.
Yeah,
but like I was thinking more. You get the first pick of everything in there.
Yeah.
Here's a crate of nothing.
Well, you're a collector
fresh
at heart.
Water. Yeah, I play the game as a collector.
I'm really into dissecting stories and narratives.
But you can still do that.
Yeah. So I immediately went to, oh, this is a story that can be made in my brain. And you were like, oh, what stuff can I get out of this place?
Because, I'm going to try to play the game where I'm going to be a caravaner.
Yeah.
An adventuring caravaner. I want to sell people stuff.
I have two characters I want to play. I want to play a dirty, ruthless raider. And,
oh, yeah.
I want to play an explorer.
You know what I really want to play,
that
too?
Tries to mark every place on his map.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
I also want to do, because we were talking about it a little bit last week, I want to do a paladin who just helps out lower-level players.
Yeah.
Just to be,
yeah,
like,
we talked about that. That was pretty cool.
I think that'd be really rewarding.
Welcome to the wasteland, son. Here's a complimentary pistol.
Like here's two things of purified water. Like, take it. And here's a fancy lad. Like,
yeah.
Be on your way. You're not gonna starve or...
You're the welcoming committee.
Yeah, like, I just think that'd be so cool.
If you could make clans, calling it the welcoming committee would be really funny.
But spell it, like, all wrong.
Yeah. Like, it ends with, like, M-I-T-T-Y.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But, the Great War. Vault-Tec might have launched it.
Yeah.
China might have launched it. U.S. might have launched it. Who do you think, for real?
For real?
For real, who do you think did it?
I think China.
I usually assume China.
Because with the lore that I just read off, it makes sense that if China was at its end, they knew, like, it's over. We have no money, we have no resources, there's nothing we can do. We can get the last laugh. Because I don't ever remember reading, like, you know, in the beginning of 4, Ron Perlman's like, New York and Pennsylvania have been hit.
Yeah.
But you never hear, like, oh, and we hit China.
Yeah, you don't hear Shanghai has fallen.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which also led me to believe, what if, hear me out, what if only North America got obliterated? What if, like, the rest of the world kind of, like,
I think Australia is probably prime. They had to deal with the nuclear winter, but, like, that's it. They're probably great.
Yeah, but...
It didn't devolve into Mad Max.
But no, Australia already, like, today looks like Fallout.
Yeah.
Like, there's giant spiders running around.
Yeah.
And
people are punching kangaroos.
Yeah. You ever see that video?
I love that video.
That video is insane.
Yeah.
Like,
shout out to Kangaroo Puncher Guy. Come on the show.
I think that there was a theory that I read on Twitter before Fallout 4 came out that said, how cool would it be if, like, you're playing the game and it's like kind of like mundane quests. Like, oh, I'm getting situated. Like, I'm getting the, like, these are the Minutemen or these are the this, these are the that, whatever. And all of a sudden a ship comes over and it's the English, and they're like, oh, we're,
yeah,
and it's the Revolutionary War.
That.
Like, how cool would that have been?
The new Revolutionary War.
Yeah, they're like, we're here to take this land back. That would have been so cool.
Yeah. Like, you're a bunch of dirty raiders, and we're here with a perfectly intact country.
Not even, like, a perfectly intact country, but just, they knew more history.
Yeah.
Because I doubt that they were blown off the map like we were blown off the map.
I feel like a majority of major cities, if someone's hitting the button to say this is Doomsday, you're going to go for every major city in probably every continent.
You think so?
I would say so.
Well, did you ever see the U.S. nuke map?
Yeah.
That if, like, anything ever happens, these are what's going to get hit?
Or that's what's expected to be hit.
Yeah. There's, like, 4 states that don't get hit at all.
Yeah, they're all in the middle.
It's... I know Wyoming is one of them. I don't remember any other one.
Shout out to Wyoming. Come on the show.
But Wyoming is, like, one of our larger states. Like, it's, like, top 5 biggest state.
In terms of surface area.
Yeah. And has the lowest population of any state in the U.S.
Because it's so spread out.
Yeah. But, like, think about how fun it would be to explore that in Fallout.
Just, like, farmhouses for miles.
Yeah.
And, like, you find these small little, like, enclaves, in quote, of humanity that just kept going. Like, they're farming. There's trees. Not those shriveled black things.
No.
But there's actual trees. And there's entire communities that are built around livestock and just surviving.
Great.
What if you can find a cow? What if you can find a cow? What if at that point it's so pure there's no Brahmin there?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't...
Do you think the fallout has already done its course?
Just because a bomb didn't drop there, I don't think doesn't mean any nuclear material didn't get there.
Yeah.
I mean, that just makes sense to me. I mean...
It makes sense to me, too, but I'm just saying, what if?
What if you found a cow? It's like the last cow ever.
Yeah.
Do Brahmin produce milk?
I don't know. Maybe? I feel like it would be irradiated.
I think they have two udders.
I think so, too.
But they also have horns. So, are they male or female?
They're yes or no. They're just Brahmin.
Yeah.
They must have some way of reproduction.
Probably.
Because there's so many of them, especially in New Vegas.
Yeah, but what if, like, one of their heads just pops off and it, like, grows like a starfish?
That would be an interesting thing to see. I'm not gonna lie. But, so what I want to talk about is our new segment. We're going to call it Wasteland Survival Guide, and we're going to tell you how to be better at Fallout. What are some Wasteland Survival tips that you have for our audience today?
Okay, when you first start the game, any game, be it 3, New Vegas, 4, any of them, I don't know, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure pre-war money doesn't weigh anything. And if it weighs anything, it's a half pound, and in Fallout 4 it might be like a tenth of a pound.
If it weighs anything, it weighs nothing.
Yeah, like it either weighs a little bit or nothing at all. Pick up all the pre-war money and all the cigarettes you can find and just sell them. Because it's free money. There's no weight, or little to no weight.
In the same vein, in Fallout New Vegas, almost everything in Doc Mitchell's house does not have the owned tag. You can pick up every single burnt book in that freaking house and start off with a decent chunk of change for Fallout New Vegas.
Did I ever tell you my burnt book story?
No, you have not told me your burnt book story.
When I first saw the E3 footage for Fallout 3, Todd Howard says, yeah, you can go find these books and your skills will improve once you've read them. So I was in Megaton at the Children of Adam Cathedral.
No way.
And I picked up every fucking book.
Every book.
And I'm going to my inventory and I'm going, why am I not, like, I'm sitting there picking them up going, why am I not better? Why am I not leveling up? Why is this not happening? Why is it not happening? And I went through and, like, did everything. And then I found an actual skill book, picked it up, and was like, oh, fuck.
I'm a big idiot.
Yeah. I was like, I don't even know how old I was. That's one of the reasons why I didn't like the game at first, because, like, this doesn't make sense to me.
Any other tips for this week?
No.
We'll have to catch you next week on Wasteland Survival Guide.
Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba! How did you get introduced to Fallout?
That's a fun story. I know how you got introduced to Fallout. I think we talked about it a little bit last time. But I got introduced to Fallout when I went over to a friend's house. And
mutual friend?
A mutual friend, yeah. And he was playing Fallout New Vegas. I was like, oh, what's this?
What mutual friend was this?
That was my friend Mikey. Hey, Mikey, come on the show.
Yeah, come on the show.
And he was playing Fallout New Vegas. I don't remember how old we were. It was old enough that New Vegas was out. And he had gotten the Game of the Year edition, so it had to have been, or the Ultimate edition. So it had to have been at the point that was out. And we were in the garage, and he just had this game on, and I was like, oh, what is this? It looks kind of cool, because he had just got the Ganon family Tesla armor.
Jesus.
And I was like, this looks rad as hell. He's like, oh, this is it's Fallout. And then he showed me a bit about it. We were shooting some things. I was like, rad roaches, oh my. And at that point, I was like, yeah, that looks kind of cool. So I bought New Vegas. At that point, I had just built a PC, a dedicated like gaming PC. So I needed games to populate my my hard drive. And New Vegas was one of my first Steam games.
Cool.
One of my first Steam games that I could run on my new PC, I should say. Because I played some really low-end games on an old computer. But I think that's why I have a sweet spot for New Vegas, where I know I like Fallout 3's story a little bit more. New Vegas is just kind of like my first Fallout game.
Feels like home.
Yeah.
It feels comfortable. It feels, you have, like, nostalgia for it.
Like, every time I wake up in Doc Mitchell's house, it feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about, do you want to talk a bit more about yours?
I, was planning on buying an Xbox 360, and E3 was that year, like it is every year, and, I remember sitting at my TV when remember G4?
Yeah,
G4. Watching G4 with a notepad, writing down the names of games and going, I have to get these for my Xbox.
Oh, that's so, that doesn't happen anymore.
No. Now it'd be like, put in the fucking Amazon cart. Like, yeah. I remember sitting there and it was like, Fallout 3 definitely was on there. I want to say one of the Gears was on there. Fable 2 was definitely on there.
Yep, Fable 2.
Fable 2, I feel like I wouldn't like it if I went back. I love Fable 2. I played I beat that game so many times. I got the Daichi Katana. Like, every time I did it, and I always got the Red Dragon Pistol every time. But I feel like if I went back and played it, I wouldn't...
Like, it hasn't aged well in your brain?
Yeah, and, like, every time I think about it, all I think about is how fucking your character runs like he's on ice. But I remember sitting there with my pen and my pad writing, and they had the whole Fallout thing. They had the Fallout presentation, and I had never seen a game like it ever. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know. I was like, wait, this is after the apocalypse. But
this was your introduction to post-apocalypse as a greater concept.
Kind of. I think I had seen I Am Legend, and I really liked it because it made me feel uncomfortable, because I was like, oh shit, this is like the end of the world. But then I saw this, and I was like, yo, like this is... I was like, so hold on, it's the future, but it's the 50s. And I'd never been introduced to that concept. Like, I didn't think of, like...
Retrofuturism.
Never once thought that could be a possibility, right? So, I'm watching this, and Todd Howard's in a Fallout shirt. It's just like a blue shirt that Fallout 3 on it. And then behind him is a trailer with these, like, mannequins dressed up like they are in the game, like, having a fake barbecue. And, like, I'm watching this going, this is the fucking nuttiest shit ever. Like, this is so fucking cool. The game comes out, I think, like, October 25th.
I don't recall the date it came out.
They wanted to get it as close to October 23rd as they could. I remember that. There was a newspapers. I think it was, like, New York Times or something, like one of the biggest newspapers, they took out an entire back page ad.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is when Bethesda, like, they were making Elder Scrolls.
And Elder Scrolls.
And, yeah, and they were just like, did you ever see the interview of Todd Howard and Space Ghost?
No.
It's fucking incredible. It's like 2006 or 2007's E3, and Space Ghost like, Todd Howard, and doing the whole fucking Space Ghost shtick.
Yeah.
And, Todd Howard's, like, not fucking having it. And then he's like, so, Todd, tell me, what are you working on? He's like, Oblivion came out, or is coming out, and we're working on the next Fallout game. And it was, like, the first time I've seen, even though I watched this, like, a month ago, the first time that I can recall someone referencing Fallout 3, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, but I wound up, like, for my birthday, I remember my mom was just like, whatever you want to get, we'll go. We'll go get it. And she took me to Best Buy. I got, like a gaming chair. Like, one of those, like, chairs that you hook your Xbox or TV up to. And it, like, vibrates. And you can, like, plug your phone in and play music. And like,
yeah. It has, like, a speaker in the back of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a nice chair. And I got that. And I got Gears 3, Fable 2, and Fallout 3. And I fucking popped Fallout 3 in. And I like I said last time, I didn't get it. What the fuck kind of game is it? I remember telling my mom, I was like, I can't wait to play this. This is, like... the 50s, but in the future, but in the past. And she's like, okay, that's cool, whatever. And, like, now it's... I fucking have a podcast about it. You know what I mean? Like, you know how nuts that is? Like, I was trying to tell a kid.
Yeah, no, I'm good. It's all right, but I'm good.
Yeah.
Your initial impressions.
And now it's just, like, I think it's, like, the fucking... one of the best stories I've ever heard. It's a world that I can constantly live in. Like, I love Red Dead, right?
Yeah.
But after a while of playing Red Dead, I'm just like, all right, I'm tired of being the fucking marble man. You know what I mean? Like, Fallout, I've been playing it again, and it's one of those games that does not need the radio. Like, the radio is the best inclusion in that game, because you just kind of listen to the radio as you do shit, and it's kind of just background noise.
Yeah.
But it really is the soundtrack to the entire, to every action. Like, you know how many super mutants I've killed while listening to Butcher Pete?
Oh, it's so much more satisfying.
Yeah. But there's a real sense of tension when you don't have the music on. Like, Fallout 3 is a scary game.
Yeah.
And nobody kind of, like, gives it that credit.
If you don't have the radio on, it's not campy anymore. It's just terrifying.
Yeah, and I love that. Like, I really like just listening to Raiders walk, and they'll kick cans.
Like, I've had a similar experience where in Fallout VR, I don't play with the radio and I don't fast travel.
Oh.
So, if I forgot something a town away... I have to risk getting mauled by by some kind of wasteland atrocity if I want to go back and get it. Or, like, hitting up some raiders. And I don't have the radio to make it better, It's not like 15 minutes of blowing my top. It's 15 minutes of I'm going to fucking die.
So, when you do you play on hardcore?
On VR? No, I think I play on hard.
Do you normally play the games harder?
I play on either normal or hard when I play new games, and if it's too hard, I'll bring it back, because I'm a firm believer, and if I'm playing a game, I want to be relaxing and having fun. So games that are too hard for the sake of being hard, I usually don't bite on. Like, that's why I'm not a particularly big fan of Dark Souls. I think it's interesting, and the world is very cool, but I'm just not good at video games. Like, I'm a game design major, and I'm just not good at video games. So I like more of the in-depth storytelling without the sitting on my couch saying, great, I need to go through this cutscene fucking again, because I'm bad.
Did you like Cuphead?
I like Cuphead.
Besides the art?
Besides the art, I like Cuphead. I'm not good at it. Like, I haven't gotten past the second world.
Really?
Yeah. I like it. It's fun, but I can't play it for too long because I'll get stressed out, and then I'm like, all right, I'm not having fun anymore. This is now a job. So.
I love Cuphead.
Yeah, I know you like Cuphead.
I think Cuphead's honestly one of the best games I've ever played. And now they have the DLC coming out.
Cuphead is a Souls-like game.
Not everything has to be Dark Souls.
What was that?
I said not everything has to be Dark Souls. Yeah, I hate that. I fucking hate that trend. Oh, this game is hard. I just hate that every game has to be, oh, it's hard. It's harder than I'd like. There's no text boxes that pop up to tell me what to do.
It's
There's
harder no... than I like, so it's like Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a fair comparison.
Like, it's so fucking stupid.
A game could be difficult and not be like Dark Souls.
Yeah. That's like saying every time I drive, I'm driving at an indie level. Like, fuck you. Like, just because everyone else is an idiot doesn't mean when I drive, I am.
Yeah.
I hate that trend so much.
Any game with cars is a Grand Theft Auto-like game.
Oh.
Right?
Any open-world crime game. A Grand Theft Auto clone. How? How is Saints Row close in any way to GTA?
It's not. I like Saints Row because it's campy.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Did you ever play Saints Row 1?
No, I haven't.
There's a gun that's a shotgun and it's a pimp cane.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
There's a 3-foot long dildo bat.
Can't you shove it up somebody? Like, can't you, like, insert it inside a person?
I don't recall. I know that you could beat the ever-loving shit
What's
out of
the name of
it?
It's
the Penetrator.
Fun. You remember.
Of course I remember. This is my favorite melee weapon from the game, because it's fucking ridiculous.
I think Saints Row is a really, really fun series, but...
I like the fact that there is an apocalypse element to Saints Row 3. How far... Have you played through Saints Row 3?
I've beaten it. I don't remember that.
After,
the zombies?
Yeah. There's an entire, like, chunk of the map that turns into a zombie portion. After you talk with Mayor Burt Reynolds. That's right. Burt fucking Reynolds is the mayor of Steelport. But you have that entire section where, like, the Stag Initiative is set up that turns into a zombie game.
I remember that, like, very slight. I remember that happening and then never going back there.
Yeah.
I
think it's fun to just, like, bring some incendiary weapons and just mow things down.
Was that a game that you just kind of got on and just fucked around?
Yeah, just fucked around.
That's how I was with Fallout for a
while. I really liked Saints Row, but another game that was like that for me was New Vegas. After I had completed New Vegas, I would just walk around and just see what I could find.
That's how I played Fallout. That's always... I would play... I think it was in 8th grade, and I had this one teacher. Let's refer to him as Don.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was so beat, and it was my last class of the day, and I like had my head on the table. And Don's like, yo, what are you doing? I was like, Don, I'm tired. He's like, why? Like, I was up last night killing zombies, because I didn't feel like explaining to him what ghouls were.
Yeah.
Because I would just go in the subway and just, ghoul, old painless.
Yeah.
And then I went to DC once, and I went to the Metro, and I was like, oh my god, I've been here. I couldn't believe how well replicated
the Metro was in the game.
I couldn't, I went there with my family, and I was like, Mom, I've been here. And she's like, what are you talking about? You've never been to DC before. I was like, no, I have played enough Fallout where... Not that I could be like, oh, this is the blue line. Like, I knew, like, how it's like a dome, kind of the shape. And then it's, like, the squares. It kind of looks like acoustic foam.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, this is...
And, like, the escalators on each side of the track.
Yeah, and the little booth.
Yeah,
the little booth thing.
Yep. Like, they'd done their research.
Yeah.
But Bethesda's always been good at doing their research.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just, I...
Like, there are places in Fallout 4 that when I visited Boston, I'm like, oh, I've been here in real life.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never been to Boston.
I visited MIT. So the Institute was like, oh, I've been on this lawn before.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm trying to think if there was... Well, oh, when I went to D.C., I fucking stood in a hotel that was right across the street from the Pentagon. So I was like, oh, it's the cathedral. Or, not the cathedral, it's the Citadel.
Yeah.
Just... And it was so weird to, like, see it from the hotel room, and I wanted to take pictures. We live in, like, a post-9/11 world, so I was really afraid to take pictures.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's your favorite Fallout quest of all time?
My favorite Fallout quest of all time?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I've ever considered it.
There's no quest that you just think about and you're just, your fancy has been tickled?
Let me think about it. What's yours?
I was hoping you had an answer first so I could think about it. I'll tell you one I really don't like because I've done it a million times, is the White Glove Society.
Yeah, I kind of like that one.
It's neat. I just done it so many times. I like the, you keep bringing up campiness. I like the campiness of the antagonizer.
I was just going to say that one. Yeah. I love the mechanist versus the antagonizer.
Yeah. That's a really, really good
that
one.
That one's so fun. What? A Canterbury Commons.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. If I had to pick one from Fallout 3, it's easily that one.
I might pick Andale.
Andale?
Just, it's not really, I don't think there's like a quest there.
But you get what's going on. You get the narrative.
Yeah, like I like getting there and everyone's like, oh, hey, nothing happened. 200 years of war. Nothing. Nope. Nothing's rusty. Everything's pristine. And you're like, what the fuck is wrong with this town? And then you run over to this old man. He's like, no, stop. Everyone's fucking crazy. And the kids are like, we're shaking. And then you go into the basement. It's like, oh, they eat human. I love that. I love juxtaposition. Give me any quest that has any sort of juxtaposition, I'm in.
Yeah. It's like, nothing is wrong here, but everything is wrong here.
Yeah.
As they smile.
Yeah, I love it. Don't you like the vampire quest? The family quest?
The family quest that starts in Arafu. I like that one. That was a good one.
I've only done that a few times.
I like it because you can get a really cool sword out of it.
Do you ever play melee?
Not really. I play mostly guns or laser.
Really?
Yeah.
I never really, like, buck with the energy weapons.
See, I like laser weapons. Plasma's fun, but yeah. I like laser weapons.
I liked in 4, I didn't even use a sniper. I used the plasma sniper, which goes against, like, everything, because plasma, like, you can outrun plasma.
Yeah.
But I had one that was, like, I think it's a unique, I'm pretty sure it's unique, but it was, like, it did 15% more damage if the target was at full health, and I thought, what better
for a sniper, than a sniper? Yeah. Do you ever play with explosives?
Never.
No? I like using grenades.
I like using grenades in 4, not in 3.
Yeah.
3, it's too cumbersome, I think.
A little bit. But I like the grenades in 4.
Yeah, I normally have, like, 40 Molotovs on me.
They become currency at that point.
Yeah, well, there's the one perk that gives you the, gives you bobby pins don't break.
Yeah.
So you ever only need one. So I have 400 bobby pins, I sell $3.99.
Yeah. Same thing, like, in Skyrim, if you have the skeleton key.
Yeah, you never need...
Yeah.
Don't finish the quest.
If you don't finish the quest, you just keep it.
I've never finished that quest.
Really? I have.
Really?
I really like the Thieves Guild. It's one of my favorite factions from the Elder Scrolls, I'd have to say.
Are they in every Elder Scrolls game?
I'm not an Elder Scrolls expert, but I know that they're in definitely in Oblivion, definitely in ESO, and definitely in Skyrim. I believe also Morrowind.
I know that the Dark Brotherhood is in a large majority of them.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I really only ever got into Skyrim. And I didn't even play that much. I only put, like, maybe 200 hours into it.
Yeah, I only put 200 hours into it.
Yeah, but it's a Bethesda game.
Yeah.
Bethesda games are made that you can play them constantly.
Yeah, like, you have easily thousands of hours on Fallout 3.
Probably.
Say around 1,000.
I think, at this point, maybe a little more.
Yeah.
You know how much 1,000 hours is?
It's a long time. It's
41 days.
Yes.
Over a month of my life was just sitting in front of my TV.
Playing Fallout.
Yeah, like, that's nuts to think about. And to think about that I've been playing this game for 10 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Like, what other game has that longevity?
I mean, longevity to you.
Yeah, but I think Fallout, maybe more New Vegas than 3, still feels modern.
Oh, yeah. And the engine is so malleable that as long as you have a dedicated community of mod creators, which... Fallout's modding community is amazing.
Yeah.
Come on the show, mod community.
The entire community.
Entire community.
Everyone at once, and everyone talk over each other.
But the mod community is wonderful. So as long as you have that support from the outside, outside of the developers, you have a game that can be propelled another 10 years into the future.
Oh yeah.
Like whenever I play New Vegas, I'll throw on like 90 mods and see how it goes, and they all make it look gorgeous. It's enough that it can make my computer stressful in 2018.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. I think it's nuts. I think it's nuts how, like, I'm still talking about it. I made a podcast about it. Like, I think it's nuts.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the voice protagonist?
I know how you feel about the voice protagonist.
I know.
Take it or leave it.
Really?
I thought it was all right. I feel like it could have been done slightly better, but the amount of work that went into that can be... I cannot give any critique to it because of...
What do you mean?
I'm going to explain.
Sorry.
I cannot bash the voice protagonist because the sheer amount of work that went into it, I could not have asked for more. Because I know over 100,000 lines that have been recorded by the protagonist. Doing anything more than that, it would have just delayed the game. And I can't sit here and be unappreciative of the sheer amount of work that went into what they did deliver. Coming from looking at a game design standpoint and knowing how much that, one, costs and how much time and effort that takes.
I think it was a waste.
I know you don't like it.
I think it was the fucking stupidest idea they ever had. Because now that I'm playing 3, after playing 4, I read the dialogue in my voice. And when I do that, I become more immersed into the world. If I wanted to make a character who was a black man, a fat black man, in Fallout 4, and there's this... I think he's Irish. His name's Brian T. Delaney. There's a very white man speaking out of my very black fat man. Like, it just takes me out of it. And I think that the whole... where the kind of camera just zooms in on them, and you watch them, feels so much more like a conversation than having a dynamic camera that pans back and
forth. See, I beg to disagree.
Really?
Having the camera change between the two entities of the conversation makes it seem like more of a conversation. It's more of a cinematic experience.
Okay, so you're looking at it from a cinematic standpoint.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it from a more intimate standpoint.
Okay.
When I'm playing Fallout 3, I'm not playing Albert. Like, I'm playing more or less myself, or the character I'm trying to portray, project onto the player character, right?
Right.
When I do that in Fallout 4, I have a harder time doing that because the voice that is coming out of the character does not match the character that the voice that I had for that character.
That's a fair critique. And I feel like there should have been an option to disable it, but I'm not going to be unappreciative of the amount of work that went into it.
Saints 2.
Hmm?
Saints 2. Saints Row 2.
Yeah.
They had 6 different voice actors for the main protagonist.
Just like Skyrim. Oh, no, not for the main protagonist.
No, Skyrim's, yeah.
Yeah.
If you made, it was like a white dude, a black dude, a Spanish dude. And then it was the same. A white woman, a black woman, a Spanish woman. So, okay, maybe he was a fat guy, so his voice wasn't like, oh, you know what I mean?
It was more accurate.
Yeah, like it fit better. Like, you can't tell me that you're going to play a character that's all beefed up, like a huge, muscly guy, and his voice isn't down here, and his voice isn't just completely controlled by testosterone. And you can't tell me you're going to play, like, a real skinny character, and his voice isn't here. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And I think they did a similar thing in Saints 3. They have an Irish voice actor, I think.
Do they really?
Either Irish or Scottish, but really thick accent.
That just seems like something they would throw in, because fuck it.
Yeah, I think they had a 3 or 4 or 5 different voice actors for the protagonist per 5 or the as many as they chose. They had the same amount for the male protagonist and the female protagonist. So it's doable and it's been done in other games, but the
For 110,000 whatever it was lines.
Yeah,
I don't expect them to have more than 2.
Yeah.
But I also think your wife was such a lost opportunity. Why not go back and get her frozen corpse and turn her into a synth and make her my companion? Like, I can spend an hour customizing what her face looks like so Sean kind of looks like a mixture of the two of us. Like, why not...
And You've talked about how you'd like your spouse to have been accessible by the memory den.
Yeah, like, even just to kind of, like, especially if you went to the memory den pre-Kellogg. Like, if they were like, okay, you can go there, here's the ring. They scrape a little DNA off the ring, and you get, like, okay, we only have, like, 2 hours worth, 2 hours more than enough.
Yeah.
And it's just, you get to, like, sit at home.
You get to be there with your spouse.
Like, I just think that would have made me more compelled to...
But then, that's also going against your thing that you have in about Fallout 4, you have a backstory.
Yeah.
That's giving you more backstory. So, you gotta pick.
No, I know, but I'm saying there's a difference between having backstory and having the compelling story. If you're going to tell me, alright, you already have a backstory, just flesh it out.
I suppose, like, if you're gonna commit a little, commit a lot.
Yeah, don't half-ass it. Yeah. Whole-ass it. Like...
Of course.
I don't know, I just thought it was, like... I thought it was kind of a waste, honestly. The memory den only shows up twice.
Yeah.
Kellogg's memories and then Curie.
Yeah. I thought it was a neat idea.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
And Ken, the guy who does the radio, that's the Silver Shroud.
Oh.
And he's the biggest Silver Shroud fan.
Yeah.
Like, they say he goes to the memory den all the time to relive what it was like being a kid listening to the Shroud.
Yeah.
But you don't, and like, his office or his radio station is in there, in the memory den, but it's like...
That's kind of interesting.
It's interesting, but it had so much more potential.
Yeah, but also, it was a big game. They had to pick their punches.
Yeah, but I also feel like they kind of rushed it. Certain elements, you know how much loot there is under the water?
What do you mean?
There's entire structures under the water.
I haven't searched for those.
Like, I was watching... an Oxhorn video, shout out to Oxhorn, come on the show. I was watching an Oxhorn video, and he has, like, a whole thing where there's, like, crashed planes and, like, stories. Like, you know they have those environmental stories where it's, like, teddy bears playing poker?
Yeah.
There's, like, shit like that, and apparently there's cut content of a vault that was supposed to be an underwater vault.
Huh.
Imagine finding, like, a bunch of amphibia people, and they're just, like... Like, that'd be so cool.
Yeah.
I think if they would have waited another year, they would have, I don't want to say it a better game, but maybe more of a polished game.
See, I think the game's quite polished.
I don't want this to come off as that I don't like Fallout 4. I loved Fallout 4. I just think...
Also, you're choosing to talk about it with a game design major.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to pick apart everything you say.
No, I know, but at the end of the day, the game is not made for the publisher. The game is made for the consumer.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I understand there's stipulations and you have to stay within this and you have to stay within that. But it also doesn't change the fact that, well, I don't want to say that it wasn't fun. Because Fallout 4 was a ton of fucking fun. It was just that it wasn't engrossing. I didn't feel, like, when I beat Fallout 4 the first time, I didn't feel, and I think I had like 180 hours on it, I didn't feel the need to go back. Where when I lost my 180-something hour playthrough of Fallout 3, my first ever playthrough of Fallout 3 was 180 something hours. When I lost that, I went, fuck, I need to go back in. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I felt the need to jump in. But with 4, I was like, okay, I'm done. And I didn't play it for months.
I mean, do you think any of your nostalgia for your first Fallout game is a factor in that?
No, because it was like right after. I bought a bigger hard drive and upgraded the hard drive and saw that my Fallout got corrupted, and I only hadn't played Fallout like maybe a month. Fallout was a game that, like, I used to have like a place where I kept my games.
Yeah.
But Fallout was always on, like, was always next to the TV because I always played it. Like, I always would pop it out and throw it in. I'd be like, okay, I just bought Crackdown 2. I'm done with Crackdown 2. Fallout 3.
Right back in.
Just like, I it was just. Fallout 3 was the game I played while I waited for other games to come out.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you made such a beautiful piece of art in my eyes. I was going to be disappointed with Fallout 4 no matter what.
Yeah.
And I've come to terms with that.
You had to... There was no way you could have managed your expectations.
No, because I won Fallout 3... Fallout 3.5.
Yeah, you wanted another Fallout 3, but that's not what Fallout 4 is.
No, and yeah. I went into that knowing that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I can see when there's so much missed opportunity. Like, instead of focusing on, let's reshape the Nuka-Cola bottles... Let's redo the Edotronics. Let's redo this. Let's redo that. Like, yeah, you have to do that because you're moving up to the next generation. They were like, oh, there's hundreds of hours of quests. Does that include every time I get a fucking place marked on my map? That's worse. That's like worse than a daily quest. Like, oh, a daily quest. Go on, kill 10 things, come back. Like, oh, Turpentine Bluff, need your help. Or the Slog, need your help. Or that one spot that's in, like, the middle of the field. I don't remember the name of it, but it's like there's a doctor there or something. Need your help. Like, there's no other quest to do other than go there, kill what's ever invading, and come back. Like, how come I don't have to, like, there's someone dying. I have to go get the medicine that you can only find here. You can only, like, I don't know. I'm not, like I said, though, I'm not saying it's a bad game. I'm just saying it could have been, if you give anything too much time, people are not going to like it. Like, Duke Nukem, did you ever play Duke Nukem Forever?
No.
Duke Nukem Forever was a game that was announced in, like, 98 and didn't come out until, like, 2011. And yeah. They changed a bunch of shit, but, like, nobody liked it because it was so different from the original, and it had so much hype around it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but also I don't agree with a lot of what you're saying.
I know. Yeah. It's just...
because there's so much goes into it.
I'm aware of this.
Yeah, it's more than just, like, drag-and-dropping things.
No, I know this.
Like, so much design and writing and planning and acting and scene-setting and everything. It's all this giant mishmash of work.
I'm aware. They worked on the game as... I think they said Skyrim wrapped, and they started working on 4. And Skyrim came out in 2011. So let's say by 2012 they started working on... and by 2015 we had Fallout 4, right? If they would have took another year to work on it...
they had planning for Fallout 4 as soon as Fallout 3 wrapped.
No, I know, but I'm saying that I don't think they started working on it until...
until Skyrim was done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't think they started working on Skyrim until the last 2 DLCs for 3.
I'm not sure about that. I thought they had Skyrim in the works for a while at that point.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm flipping that.
Maybe.
Maybe it's the last DLC for Skyrim they started working on. I'm not sure. All I know is DLCs involved somewhere. But the water vault would have been awesome. To actually explore the water. There's, like, in the files for a giant Kraken monster.
Yeah?
There's a scuba suit that's somewhere in the files. Like, instead of saying, all right, we got to come out
in November. There's a harpoon gun.
Sorry?
I think there's a harpoon gun.
The harpoon gun that was in the files and someone uncovered, and then they just put it in the Far Harbor pack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you have all this stuff ready to go and you just need to polish it and work it out and iron everything out, why not wait? You know how many times, like, Red Dead got delayed? Or Watch Dogs?
Yeah.
Watch Dogs got delayed so many times, but it didn't turn out to be as great as they said it was going to be at E3 because it was a Ubisoft game.
I mean, no shade at Ubisoft.
No. Ubisoft, come on the podcast.
Yeah.
But, like, they showed us, like, 4K graphics and then gave it to us, and it looked like a fucking kid colored it with Crayola.
I mean, that being said, Watch Dogs 2 was phenomenal.
I didn't play Watch Dogs 2.
Phenomenal.
That's what I've heard, but I've not.
I really liked that game.
In summation, Fallout 4, great game. What would I rate it?
But not your cup of tea.
Not my cup of tea, no. I'd give it, like, where I'd give Fallout 3, like, a 12 out of 10. I'd give 4, like, a 7.5, an 8.
See?
Better than average. Definitely way better than
all right,
average.
What would you give New Vegas?
What would I rate New Vegas?
Yeah.
Metacritic gave it an 84. I was probably going to say about an 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I had to rate them, Fallout 3... is like an 8. Fallout New Vegas is like a 9.5.
I can see that.
And Fallout 4 is probably like an 8.5. So, like, I'll know how Fallout 3 got the lowest of my 3, because I love Fallout 3. But, like, I just really like New Vegas, and I cannot disrespect the amount of work that went into 4.
No, and yeah. Like I said, I understand that, and I get it, and it's appreciated. There's a lot of things now that I'm playing 3 again where I'm just like, fuck, this combat system is not...
yeah, this is chunky.
Yeah.
This is Oblivion.
Yeah. I'm just like, maybe I should use a melee weapon. Maybe it'd be easier because, like, it's so on a grid to aim. It's, like, I don't know how to explain. They're all great games. They're all great games.
Yeah, we love them.
Yeah, we made a fucking podcast
about them.
That's
why we're talking about them.
Yeah. But when you love something, you critique it because you... It's like when you love a child.
Yes, and?
Like...
You want to do best by it.
Right? Yeah. Like, you want it to do the best. You know what I mean?
I think it's unfortunate that more people can't see things from a place of love, where there's so many people that go on and just hate on things.
Yeah.
The gamer, like, community right now is like, I feel like in general, it's just toxic.
Yeah. Well, you know why? You know what I blame entirely for it? Is GTA 5. Hear me out. GTA 5, whatever you want to say about it, it's not my favorite GTA game. I think they kind of screwed us on a lot of things with that game. I think because they made the online mode, for a while, the number one thing on YouTube was, "Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome back to the channel. Today we're going to be talking about GTA 5 and how to get shark cards and how to get them for free and how to..." Like, every... Before we do that, if you could just get into the video and you could just smash that like button for me, go ahead and smash like button, go ahead and do that to your favorite, and send this video to 10 friends and leave a comment on the bottom. What's your favorite clothing brand in the game? Like, every fucking video was the same shit. And it just dominated YouTube. It just dominated YouTube for months.
Which is understandable, because it's a good game.
No, right, I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying it's like Call of Duty 2.
Yeah, that always happens when that carbon copy gets released.
Like, I bought the remaster of Call of Duty 4.
Yeah.
And I'm like not even enjoying myself playing it online. Like, I was never good at that game, but I remember having a ton of fun. But the only people that are still playing it are the people that are fucking been playing it since the day it came out and know how to do everything in that game.
Yeah.
Like, everybody has to be a YouTuber. Everybody has to be that level of, like, gaming. Ugh. Like, Fortnite is just... Sponsor the show, Fortnite, please. Like, I know you sponsor YouTube. Just sponsor the show. You're an alright game. The community just kind of ruins it for everybody else. It's like Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty's a great show. Rick and Morty's so funny.
Yeah.
But when I see a dude in McDonald's screaming, "I want my chicken nuggies,"
yeah,
I don't want to be associated with that.
Yeah.
Rick and Morty, come on the show. Like,
Justin Roiland.
Yeah, Justin Roiland, come on the show. Dan Harmon.
How you doing, Dan? What are you doing? No, you just went
I like Harmon before. Quest 2.
Sorry?
I like Harmon Quest 2, come on the show.
Yeah, the whole cast. It's just...
Yeah, I think just people get so worked up about things, especially games, where they don't realize how much went into it, and then they feel like they're shortchanged, when really they were given the best they can get for $60. The gaming industry will die if games stay at $60.
Really?
Yeah. You get games and are not satisfied with them because there is such... People are so attached to that $60 price tag. If you want games to be great, let go of your $60 price tag.
Yeah, but look at that from a consumer perspective.
Oh, I am, and I agree, like... It's
really
a lot of money.
You really want to pay $120 for a game?
No, like, $60 is still a lot of money for a game. But if you want to keep that price tag, which has become the industry standard, you need to understand how expensive the current generation of games are to produce.
Give me some numbers.
All right, so you want some numbers? For example, GTA 5 cost $265 million.
How much?
$265 million, roughly, to produce. That's insane. To be able to spend that much money on a game, they could have easily charged $80 for their game if you wanted more from it. Let's talk about Bethesda games, because that's what we talk about.
Yeah, but you know what? All it's going to take is one company to charge $80 for the bait. But you know what? No, fuck that, because every company, like, not every company, but a lot of major companies are making entire games and pulling content from the game and saying, "Oh, this is DLC. This is first day DLC."
Yeah, because they aren't making their money back with the $60 price tag. That's why so many games have a DLC model. Because if you want your favorite companies to be able to keep making more games, they need to make their money somehow. And you love Fallout, you're going to buy the DLC.
Yeah, I am.
You paid $120 for Fallout 4 or something.
I paid... Well,
how much was the season pass? 60?
No.
No?
It was like 30, 40 bucks.
40? You paid $100 for Fallout 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't pay $60 for Fallout 4. That's an $100 game easily with the amount that went into it.
Yeah, no, definitely. But what I'm saying is Bethesda puts out a product. It's a quality product.
Yeah.
Like, as much as I just shit on Fallout 4, I'm not saying it's not a good game. What I'm saying is, like, if they put out fucking Rogue Warrior tomorrow, if they you know Rogue Warrior?
I don't know what Rogue Warrior
exactly.
is.
Exactly. It's a game that doesn't work, and the only thing about it that drew people in is that Mickey Rourke did the voice acting. It was the voice actor of the main character. They had four other voice actors. People spawned out of your ass, so you just died, and then he cursed constantly. That was the only thing. Mickey Rourke and him cursing, and then he raps at the end of the game. Game did not work. Functionally did not work. If you would have told me this is a $60 game, and you got to buy the DLC, first day, this and that, whatever, I would have fucking looked at you and laughed. I'm like, what, are you kidding me? This game? You, if you want more money, I understand, but you have to make a quality product.
Yeah, like, for instance, Skyrim, its development cost was about $90 million, and...
Oh, it's peanuts. Compared to GTA V, it's peanuts.
Yeah, well, GTA V is one of the biggest games that's released in the past decade.
Yeah.
And though no official things have been released about Fallout 4, it's estimated to be between $120 and $150 million to produce, you're buying that DLC. You're paying $100 for that game.
But that's because I love Fallout.
Yeah.
And because when they came out and said they had the season pass, I didn't feel like it was like a late buy-in. Like, I didn't feel like it was... They said, look, we do DLC, we like DLC, we have ideas, we're not sure what it is, we don't know how many's going to come out. That's why they upped the price of the season pass later on.
Yeah.
They made the season pass $60.
Because they added a lot more than they promised.
Yeah. I bought the season pass for, I think it was 40.
I think it was 30 or 40, yeah.
And, like, first off, I felt like I made out like a bandit. But not only that, they told everybody, hey, if you want to buy the season pass, you have until this day till we up the price.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because Bethesda's marketing and PR is pretty good.
But I'm just saying, like...
You don't feel cheated.
I don't feel cheated.
Yeah.
But there's a ton of, like, Prey. Do you remember Prey? I think it was called Prey.
It's on my Steam wish list. I think it looks good.
Where you play as the beast, and then there's, like, four or five other things? I'm thinking of a different game.
I'm thinking of the Bethesda game, Prey.
Oh, no.
Space Moon Colony.
No, there's a game where it was, like, a four or five versus one.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
The game came out with over, like, $200 of DLC on.
That you could choose to buy.
I think some of it was cosmetic, but I think some of it was like level packs. Like, I never played it because I remember seeing $200 worth of DLC day one. Because you know what I think it is for a lot of people too? Video games are such a place of just relaxation. It's such a place of, this is where I can unwind.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm
getting... It's an entertainment medium.
Sorry?
It's an entertainment medium.
Yeah. Where it's like, I feel like I'm getting cheated every day. I go to work, I fucking hate work, I come home, my wife doesn't look at me. Like, I want to relax, I want to become this guy who kills dragons. I want to be this guy who is a superhero. I want to escape, right?
Yeah.
So, when your form of escapism is like, hey, you can buy this, and you can buy that, and you can do this, and you can do that, it's like, fucking, you're draining me. I'm trying to get away from capitalism, and here you are, just bringing me back in. Like, you know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. Companies need to make money. That's why a company gets started, to make money and to make a product that people will enjoy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do they need to make more money to support them? Yeah, probably. Make the fucking game better. GTA 5, my biggest gripe with GTA 5 is they give you San Andreas, but they don't give you Los Venturas. They don't give you, the hell's it called? I can't remember. They don't give you, what's supposed to be San Francisco. They don't give you Area 51. They give you San Andreas, Blaine County. That's it.
But the amount of detail that has gone into those sections is incredible.
Do not get me wrong. The amount of detail to just the smallest little thing, mind-blowing how much there is. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Like, there's little things about GTA 4 to me that are better than GTA 5, like the combat system. Like, when you punch somebody in GTA 4... You actually had to, like, plan and kind of, like, duck and, like, hit buttons at the right time. You go and punch somebody in GTA 5, it's whoosh, and they're dead.
Despite that, I think that games, as they are now, I think we're getting enough. And I'm excited for what we're going to get with Fallout 76.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And,
Bethesda could make a Fallout game called Fallout Fuck You, where it's Todd Howard teabagging a fucking the next game they're going to make, and I'd put 120 hours in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like... I'm a stan. I don't, like, also, I'll be the first person to tell you.
Yeah. I'm very excited for 76.
And it's such a different idea. Like, it may not be different in the grand scheme of games.
But it's a departure from their formula.
Yeah. And you know what?
I'm excited to see how it goes.
Yeah. And if it's not for you, then don't play it.
Yeah.
More loot for me.
That's true.
And if Sony could fucking get on their shit and just allow crossplay.
Yeah, maybe Sony's not going to come on the show.
Sony, come on the show.
If you do crossplay, you can come on the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, you're not allowed on the show.
So, you think you learned anything this episode?
I did. I didn't know as much about the Resource War.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I'm glad that I know a bit more. Because, turns out, Fallout America is very bad.
Oh, it's terrible.
Very evil.
Yeah. And like I said, I was telling you before we started recording, I was like doing this at home, researching, and I'm like, oh my god, this is so bleak.
Yeah, it's like, dark.
Like, they kind of play like, okay, shit was bad, and bombs.
Yep.
But like, reading exactly what was going on.
Like,
so,
cities being wiped off the map.
Like, Tel Aviv is gone.
Yeah.
Just gone.
Level.
I think that's nuts.
Yeah. So, as always, we're going to end off with a very special radio program. Brought to you by Atomic Radio Hour, we have...
Nuclear Family, Episode 1, Part
2.
All right, everybody. Have a good night.
Have a good one.
Drive safe.
Kiss your dad straight on the lips.
That's someone else's protection. We're going to get sued. You can't fucking do that.
All right, McElroy boys, come on the podcast.
Come on the podcast. Defend yourself.
Yep.
Atomic Radio Hour is proud to present the number one family sitcom in the country, Nuclear Family. On our last episode, it seems as if the Smith family had been getting into a little trouble with their new neighbors, the Simmons, who just so happen to be ghouls.
Morning there, Al.
Hey, morning, Rich. How you been? What's with this glum look?
Oh, Al, I've got new neighbors is all.
Oh, that sounds like it'd be a good thing.
Yeah. Normally, it would be. Normally, I'd greet them with an ice-cold Nuka-Cola and a few sweet rolls to welcome them to the neighborhood. Normally, I'd ask them what they do for their job and attempt to develop a relationship. But these neighbors are far from normal.
What is they, Rich? Is they muties?
No, but almost as bad. Ghouls.
Oh boy, Rich, that's rough. I knew this guy's sister's aunt, cousin, grandmother twice removed on their father's side. Who came home with one of them zombies and they beat her to death.
Well, Al, Karen invited him and his family to dinner on Friday.
Ah, jeez, Rich, you never even invited me to dinner before.
I guess I'll just have to see how this plays out. Hey, have the new guys from the Peterson Caravan come out yet? I want to make a good impression on them.
They should be here soon.
All employees to the showroom floor for a mandatory meeting.
Well, Rich, I guess that would be them Peterson's people.
I don't know, Al. I don't really want to move. We just started a community garden. I want to teach Jimmy how to be self-sustaining. Where is this new Oh, no.
All right now, fellas and lady fellas. The name's Vug Simmons.
Al. That's...
And I'm the new manager from the Peterson Division up north. And most things are going to stay the same. If anything's going to be changing, it's our productivity. Now, also minor changes will be made on Friday, that if we meet our quota, we can leave an hour early, and still going to get paid for that hour. And twice a year, we're going to host ourselves a family picnic. Now let's get out there and make sure we deliver. Mr. Smith, how the hell are you?
Fine, Mr. Simmons, thank you.
Now, Mr. Simmons, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Please, please, call me Vug.
Oh, okay, cool. Vug, it's great to meet you. Never met a ghoul that wasn't a flesh eater, like old Rich over here was telling me that some dirty shuff was...
Ow! Why don't you shut your mouth and go fix that photon resonation chamber?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Thanks, Rich. I'll be seeing you fellas later on.
Mr. Smith, I know you're a hard worker. I've seen your file, and I know what you're capable of.
Thank you,
please,
Mr.
Please, Vug. Just call me Vug.
Thank you, Vug.
Now, I need you to run a minor caravan to the Mitchell settlement to the northeast of here.
Yes, sir. I'll pack up my Brahmin and head right on out.
Meanwhile, at the park, Jimmy and the fellas are getting acquainted with Vug's daughter, Abigail.
So, you're a ghoul?
Yep.
For as long as I can remember.
Well, does that mean you can go play in the rad pits next to the park?
I mean, technically, I could, but I don't know what kind of monsters could be hanging around in there.
Do you do jet?
You don't ask somebody a question like that. No, it's fine. For a lot of kids, I'm their first interaction with a PNH.
What's a PNH?
A post-necrotic human.
A what?
That's just our fancy pants name for a ghoul.
Oh.
Come on, Petey. Come on, Paul. Let's round up some rocks and get to the spot where the rad stags eat and wait.
Okay, yeah, that sounds swell.
I brought some from home.
All right, fellas, you get ready. I'm going to keep showing Abby the park a little bit, and I'll catch up with you guys later.
See you, boy.
See you, boy. Abby, how's that Ollie's Famous Iced Tea treating you? It's wonderful. I haven't had iced tea since before the Great War.
Wait, you're from the before the war time?
Yep, most ghouls are, even the ferals.
Wow. What do you think you miss the most?
That's a good question. Probably just the smell of when my mom used to make fresh bread. And honestly, I was only 9 when the bombs dropped, so I don't really remember much.
What about you folks?
Yeah, they were. But they don't really like to talk about it all that much.
Oh, well then.
My brother remembers it much more than I do. He was 15 when it all happened.
Can I meet him?
Sure.
Wowie zowie.
If we could find him.
Wait, what?
About 2 years ago, some crazies that worship radiation met him, and he had been glowing since about 2099, 2100-ish. So, a pretty long time, but he was the first non-feral that they met that was a glower. So they started acting as if he was some sort of holy figure.
Wowzers.
Yeah, but my parents don't really like to talk about that either.
Well, I'm just happy that we have someone new to add to the gang.
It sure is swell that I moved to an area that has kids my age. Last place we went to, it was nothing but old people.
Yuck.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
That was great, wasn't it? Loving the shows. Before we end it off, I want to give a quick shout out to Shane Ivers for allowing us to use Feather Duster, the intro track. If you want to pick up that song or any of them like it, you can find it at silvermansounds.com/freemusic/feather duster. We'll link it in the video description below. See you next week.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.